We're so glad to see this another Lord's Day. It's great to see all who've come this morning. I want to thank those men who've gone before me. Appreciate Brother William Knott, one of our deacons, who's a song leader today, and Brother Rose on the bass. And I have to say, they've been away for a few weeks, and it's good to have them back, Brother and Sister Knott. Also, we want to thank Brother Cedric Stokes, who did our announcements this morning. And we also want to thank Brother Robert Moore, who led us to the throne of God in prayer. And my grandson, Caleb Boyd, who read to us from God's Word. If you're visiting with us this morning, you are indeed an honored guest. I have a few things to mention, and I'll get right to those. I understand that someone's missing keys. Sister Ewing, oh, did you find them? Sister Ewing is missing some keys. If you see some keys around the building anywhere, please give those to her. Okay. Also want to acknowledge those who are visiting with us this morning. I have three visitors' cards. I have I think it's Jasmine D. Stafford, who is a neighbor, walked in, she said. Is there a Mrs. Stafford? Okay, maybe she stepped out. Want to welcome her to the worship service. William W. McDonald, from across the street, a neighbor. Okay, amen. Also, we have a Renee N. Willis, who has a prayer request, and I will also give that to the people who are doing prayer requests. They also are neighbors from the neighborhood on Losher here. So good to have those individuals visiting with us this morning. As I look out into the audience, it's great to see Sister Mayberry, who's with us this morning, too. Do we have any other visitors to my left who would like to be acknowledged? Are there any to my right? It's good to see everybody this morning. Also, just want to mention a couple of things very quickly. We had an awesome time this past Saturday. It was an opportunity to pass out backpacks and school supplies to the community. And we just had a lot of folks who came, and we had a number of individuals from the congregation who were here who helped out. And I'm just going to read through a few names real quickly, but we want to thank all of those who helped to make it just an awesome giveaway. People put things away, took things out. It was just, you know, you wouldn't even know we did anything, just how well that they did the job yesterday. We had Sandra Crawford. We had Jeanette Frazier, Tanya Cobb, Maya Thomas, Jackie Dillegard, Deborah Dawson, Mark Dawson. And by the way, Sister Dawson was kind of like over it. She took the place of Antonia and did a great job. We had Lynette Eagleton, Robert Moore, Valerie Sommer, Mariah Reed, Carla Reed, Renee Kelly, Arlene McGee. We had Andre Moore, Tavian Bell, Bailey Dickerson. And we also had Tichelle Jones, Asia Jones, Andre Jones, Jameson Rose, Jamie Rose, Frank Cobb, Lake Cobb, Derek Cobb, Brandy Cobb, Caden, Connor Brown. And we had Brenda Snow, Joanne Banks, Johnny Allen, and Faye Allen. And hopefully we didn't miss anyone, but as you can see, that was a lot of people. We had a great time and did just an awesome job. I will mention that we have a few backpacks left over. If someone wants to receive those or know someone that need them, after the morning service, you can go to the fellowship hall and you can receive backpacks there. Sister Dawson will be kind of manning the station there. So again, we thank all of those individuals for just doing an awesome job. And I'm sure it made a great impact on the community. I'll also mention I'm going to have a brief meeting afterwards, the worship this morning, for the 73rd Anniversary Planning Committee. That's coming around the corner, so we're just going to meet very briefly to kind of get a few things going for that. And you probably already heard that the elders and deacons meeting has been canceled for the month of August. Turn in your Bibles this morning to Genesis chapter 27. I want to continue reading there, beginning at verse number 5. Genesis chapter 27, beginning at verse number 5. The Bible says, Rebekah was listening while Isaac spoke to her son Esau. So when Esau went to the field to hunt for game to bring home, Rebekah said to her son Jacob, Behold, I heard your father speak to your brother Esau, saying, Bring me some game and prepare a savory dish for me that I may eat and bless you in the presence of the Lord before my death. Now, therefore, my son, listen to me as I command you. Go now to the flock and bring me two choice young goats from there that I may prepare them as a savory dish for your father, such as he loves. And then you shall bring it to your father that he may eat so that he may bless you before his death. And Jacob answered his mother, Rebekah, Behold, Esau, my brother, is hairy, and I'm a smooth man. Perhaps my father will feel me that I will be as a deceiver in his sight, and I will bring upon myself a curse and not a blessing. This morning, I want to talk about blessings just for a few minutes. When we talk about blessings, first of all, everyone wants to receive a blessing. Amen? Blessings are a good thing. The Old Testament word for blessing or to be blessed is barakah, and it generally denotes a bestowal of good, usually in a conceived as material. In the New Testament, the word eulogia denotes the spiritual good brought by the gospel and material blessings, which generally are blessings in a general sense. Blessings can be associated with protection and happiness. God's blessings protect us, and not only that, they guide us to the path of happiness and righteousness. Just a little bit about blessings. The title of the lesson this morning is, Do You Know How Blessed You Are? Do you know how blessed you are? As we begin the lesson this morning, I want to talk about stolen blessings. As we read the story of Jacob and Esau, Isaac, as he is an old man, his eyes have dimmed and there wasn't LASIK surgery around at that time, and he was unable to see. And so he could not even distinguish between his sons. And it brought about an interesting circumstance. First of all, if you were the firstborn, you were privy to some unique things in your life. You were favored by the fact because you had a double portion, generally, of what was entitled a birthright. And I'll talk about that a little bit more. You were favored because you were looked to be the first one to take the place of your dad and to receive the things that he had. And so it was a favored position. And there was a blessing that the dad wanted to give to his older son. He wanted to give his older son something very special. And blessings not only can be material, but sometimes blessings can be what someone says to you, what someone says to encourage you, what someone says to proclaim how your life might be. And that was the case as we look at this particular situation where Isaac is saying, on my deathbed, I want to say some words to you, son, that will reflect on your life, that will be a mirror of how things are going to turn out in your life. And so he wanted to give him that blessing. It was his desire to bless his older son. It was not his desire to bless Jacob, the younger son. And even though they were just a few minutes apart, nevertheless, Esau was the older son. There was a difference between these two boys. Esau was smooth, but Esau was rather hairy, but Jacob was smooth. And he was the kind who was not a person out in the field and a hunter, but instead he was a peaceful man. Now, because of the fact that Isaac loved to eat wild game, he loved his older son more. He favored him more because of that. And so it was a situation he wanted to give him the blessing, and his heart was just desiring to do this. But mom was listening in. You caught that, didn't you? Mom was listening in, and mom had some other plans. Rebekah and Jacob stole Esau's blessing away from him. Jacob and his mama committed identity theft, all right? The first time you see it here in the Bible, in verses 16 through 19, dressing the boy up in Esau's clothes, putting on him hair on his neck and on his arms so that he would appear to be someone who he wasn't, so that he would appear to be Jacob, so that he would receive the blessing. Oh, yeah, they committed identity theft. Not only that, here's a couple of other things that we need to see, church, is that because of their desire to receive this blessing, Jacob even lied on God. In verse number 20, when the father had sent him out to go and to get the game so that he could come back to kill the animal and then come back, he knows something just don't sound right. Some things aren't working right here because he sounds like Jacob, but he says he's Esau. He knows something just isn't right, as they begin to play this trick on him. But when he went out right away, he comes back real quick, and he says, wait a minute, something wrong. How did you get it so quick? And he answers and said, because God caused it to happen. You see, when we get to stealing and when we get to trying to work our game, we'll even lie on God. He says, God caused it to happen. So Jacob lied on God. He lied to his daddy. Verse number 24, as we look at the text this morning, we find that he said to him, are you really Esau? And he says, I am. He's saying, like, something's wrong here. You sound like Jacob, but I think something's wrong. But nevertheless, he says, I am. He gave him the food, and he ate it. On several occasions, we find the daddy trying to get to the truth. He says to him, come a little closer and kiss me. And his intent was, I'm going to smell this boy to see if he smells like my son. Yeah, but in the case, mom was pretty slick because she had him put on Esau's clothes. And so he smelled like him. And so then Esau gets the blessing. Or Esau is defrauded from his blessing, and Jacob takes the blessing, I should say. Notice, and here's what happened. Verse 27, so when he came close and he kissed him, and when he smelled the smell of his garments, he blessed him and he said, see, the smell of my son is like the smell of a field which the Lord has blessed. Now may God give you the dew of the heaven, the fatness of the earth, and the abundance of grain and new wine. May people serve you and nations bow down to you. Be master of your brothers, and may your mother's sons bow down to you. Cursed be those who curse you, and blessed be those who bless you. He stole his brother's blessings. Some of you might say, well, but guess what, folks? This is nothing new, and it's still going on today. Some of us may be guilty of trying to steal other folks' blessings. Stay with me now. When we look around and we see someone who we think is doing better than we are, then we want to get what they have. Don't you know there are folks in this world who will take your blessings away from you? They will steal your car. They will steal your gym shoes. Amen. They will steal your paycheck out of the mailbox. That's why they quit sending them in the mail. They will steal your job. They will steal your promotion away from you. We got folks who will steal your blessings if they can, if they have an opportunity. Amen. Not only that, they will steal your wife or your husband if your wife or your husband ain't wrapped too tight. They will even steal your identity. We got folks who take your credit cards. We have people who tap in to your accounts and steal your identity. We still have some folks who like to steal blessings today. Isn't that right? You go to your bank account getting ready to pay for some groceries and ain't nothing in there, amen? Because somebody stole your blessings. Somebody stole the money that you had. Someone got away with what wealth that you had. We have people who are tricking elderly people, coming to the door pretending to be someone that they're not, pretending to be someone who's going to take care of them, and instead they steal all of their possessions. Oh, yeah. They'll steal anything that they can. Folks try every day to steal your blessings away. Let me share something else as we look at this lesson. Next, I want to talk about don't get in the way of your own blessings. Don't get in the way of your own blessings. We could be the reason why God is not blessing us. We've been looking all around and we've been scratching our head. We've been complaining and we've been doing all of these kind of things. And the problem could be that we're in the way of God's blessings. Let me give you a little bit first from Jacob and Esau. Reality is Esau got in the way of his own blessings. When you go to chapter 27, or 25 rather, verses 27 through 34 tells us how that Esau sold his birthright. All of those special privileges, the double portion, and all of those things that came along with being born first, he sold away. He had gone out into the field, and he was a hunter. And so he had gone out into the field, and he was hunting, and he didn't have any food, and he was tired. And not only was he hungry, but he was tired. And he came back, and he was famished. And Jacob had made some stew. And the New American Standard said that Esau said, "Give me some of that red stuff. Give me some of that stew." And he says, "No, but first you got to sell your birthright." See, he's cunning. He's slick. Some folks are looking for an opportunity to get over on you. And he says, "No, first you got to sell your birthright." And Esau said, "Man, I'm about to die. What's good of a birthright to me right now?" And Jacob, being cunning as he is, said, "You have got to vow. You've got to swear to it." And he sold the birthright. And then he gobbled up the food, didn't think much of it. But in doing this, he had set the stage. He had set the pattern. He had told God that the blessings that are supposed to come my way, I'm not really that concerned about them. I put pleasure and I put eating and I put other things in front of those blessings. You know, sometimes we can get in the way of our own blessings. Let me tell you, David got in the way of his blessings when he sinned with Bathsheba. In 2 Samuel chapter 12, verses 2 through 7, it tells us how that Nathan told a parable of a man who was rich and extravagant, had many sheep, and when a traveler came, that person took the one sheep from a servant who was just like a little ewe lamb, and he was like a child that sat at the dinner table. He took it from him, and he killed him, killed it, and ate it. And then he says, you know what? That man, he needs to be killed. David became enraged. David was upset. He was like, how can this dude do this? And then Nathan said, you are the man. You are the man. In other words, Uriah had his prized possession was his wife. You get all of the women that are given to you and that are part of your kingdom, but you go after his wife. And then you have him killed on the battlefield. And he says, don't you know that I anointed you and made you king, chose you to be the one who would rule over. I made you not only over Israel, but I made you over Israel and Judah. And he says, and don't you know that I gave you all kinds of things, and I would have even given you more if you had won it. In other words, David got in the way of his blessings. Because now God says, there will not be another in your household who will come to the throne. There will not be another male in your household. Because of this, because you have sinned, I gave you blessings on top of blessings. But you sinned and you got in the way of my blessings. Folks, don't you know your blessings stop when you sin? Don't you know God can't bless you? I don't care how much you want to be blessed when you are living in sin. Don't let your blessings get in the way. Or don't let your sin get in the way of your blessings, I should say. It's a good idea to remove self out of the whole picture. You see, because that's the problem. When we get all into ourselves and we get all into what I gotta have and what I need right now, that's usually when we get carried away. And that's when we mess up God's plans, when we fail to trust in him. The psalmist said in Psalms 37, verse 5, trust in the Lord. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will do it, or he will bring it to pass. God can bless us better than we can. Oh, we think, God, you ought to do this, and you ought to do this for me, and you ought to do that. Proverbs 14, verse number 12 says, there's a way that seems right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. You can't tell God how to bless you. You don't even know what you need. Amen. You might think you need it, but it's probably the worst thing for you. Haven't you seen some folk get something and they just go crazy? I was reading in the newspaper about a man who got a car. It wasn't a Lamborghini, but it was something else. And the thing cost about $200,000 or $300,000. He got in that thing, and it was so fast that he crashed it. He couldn't even control it. He might have thought he needed that car, but it was way too much speed for him. And can't you imagine crashing a $200,000 or $300,000 car? My. Everything that we think we need is not what we need, church. Notice what God says in Malachi 3, verse 10b. He says, "Test me now in this, says the Lord of hosts, if I will not open for you the windows of heaven and pour out for you a blessing until it overflows." God is in the business of blessing. God is able to bless. His hands are not restrained. But the problem is with you and me, many times, why God will not bless. Don't block your blessings by having doubt and fear. Don't block your blessings by having a bad attitude. Don't block your blessings by having a bad mouth. Don't block your blessings by being mean and evil. Don't block your blessings by being jealous and hateful. Don't block your blessings by being hard-hearted. Don't block your blessings by being discouraged all the time. Don't block your blessings by allowing distractions to come into your life and in your way. Don't block your blessings by moving too fast. Sometimes God says, "Wait a few minutes," and we say, "No, God, I'm going right now. I got to do this right now. This is what I want. I got to do it right now." Sometimes we need to wait. Sometimes we need to slow down and let God do what God can do well. But when, and this is the crux of the lesson this morning, but when you know how blessed you are, you will appreciate the blessings that you have. When you know how blessed you are, you will appreciate the blessings that you have. Let's get a few things straight right now. Everyone does not receive the exact same blessings or the same amount as everybody else. Amen? I want to get that straight. Now, in case you need a scripture, Matthew 25, verse number 15. The Bible there says that there were talents, and this was money, that were giving out to the servants. That one received one talent, one received, I believe it said two, and another received 10 talents. But it was based on five talents, based on, it says, their ability. Based on their ability. So all of them didn't get five talents. All of them didn't get one. And all of them didn't get two. But based on how they were able to handle it, based on how that what they had coming to them, they received what they should have received. Brother Snow don't have $1 million in my pocket today because God said I don't need $1 million right now. Amen? Amen. Now, if I get it tomorrow, maybe something changed. But understand what I'm saying, that everyone does not receive the same blessing or the same amount. But here's something else we need to understand. But everyone has been blessed with something. Not one of them was blessingless. Not one of them was without blessings. And what we need to understand that if God has given you a blessing, then you have been highly blessed, you have been favored, and you ought to be happy if God has given you anything. Amen. Let me break it down just a little bit more. You may not be tall, dark, and handsome, but you're smart. You may not have much money, but you have a beautiful wife and a family who loves you. You may not be a good singer, but you can write songs. Know this, if you woke up this morning, you've been blessed. Know this, if you can walk and if you can talk, you've been blessed. Know this, if you live in America, you've been blessed. Know also, if you're listening to this sermon this morning, you've been blessed. God has blessed you with his sunshine and with his rain. He has blessed you with the air that you breathe, and God has blessed you with much more. All of us have been blessed
in some way or another. And we ought to be thankful for how God has blessed us. God might not have blessed you like he blessed somebody else, but God has blessed you the way he wanted you to be blessed. Now, what does that mean? Does that mean then if you're lacking something that you can't get it? Stay tuned. I'm going to talk to you just a little bit this morning. What it means, first of all, is when you know how much you have been blessed or how you have been blessed, you won't fight folks for their blessings. You won't attempt to steal their blessings and make them yours. Paul said these things in Galatians 5 and verse number 15. He says, but if you bite and devour one another, take care that you are not consumed one of another. Not only that, in Galatians 5 and verse number 21, when we talk about envy, it says that it is one of the works of the flesh. It comes from Satan. It's devilish. It's something that will control you, and it's something that will run you in the ground. So we have to be careful. Don't allow our desires to overtake us. James chapter 4, verse 1 through 3, and here's what we need to hear. He says, what is the source of your quarrels and your conflicts among you? Is not the source of your pleasure the pleasures that war in your members? You lust and you do not have. In other words, you want and you don't have it. And then he says, not only that, he says, so you commit murder. Give me those gym shoes. Pop, pop. Isn't that the way we do things? Isn't that the way it's done? And so then he says, you are envious and cannot obtain, so you fight and you quarrel. Oh, I'm just not happy right now. Things aren't going right. And I think I'm going to throw a little clink over here. Oh, she walking around in that new dress thinking she's looking good. I'm going to put something in front of her. Am I talking to anybody? Well, he says, you're envious and you cannot obtain, so you fight and you quarrel. He says, you do not have because you do not ask. Now check this out. He says, you ask and you do not receive because when you ask with wrong motives so that you may spend it on your own pleasures. God says, I'm not giving it to you because your heart ain't right. I'm not giving it to you because you're trying to spite somebody else. I'm not giving it to you because you're trying to impress somebody. I'm not giving it to you because you don't deserve it. Well, when we talk about being blessed, we need to understand when you know how you have been blessed, then you will choose to be a blessing to someone else. When you know how you've been blessed. You see, folks who think they have not received a blessing, folks who think that they don't have enough, folks who think that they haven't been blessed will not bless anybody else. They won't even say, oh, you look good. Oh, she thinks she's looking good. I ain't gonna tell her that. I ain't gonna tell that brother that suit fitting good. My suit, I need to get me a new one. Forget about self a little bit. Forget about self a little bit. When we know that we've been blessed, then you can bless somebody else. And it's good to bless somebody else. Stop crying about what we don't have and start making the most of what we do have. Amen. Listen to the Apostle Paul. In Philippians chapter 4, verse 11 through 12, here's what he said. Not that I speak from want, for I have learned to be content in whatever circumstance I am. He says, I know how to get along with humble means, and I also know how to live in prosperity. In any and every circumstance, I have learned the secret of being filled and going hungry, both of having abundance and suffering need. Paul says, I can manage, I'm happy in whatever situation.
I've been in all of them. I've had a whole bunch of money. I've had food and I've had friends. I've had houses. I've had all of these things. But I've been shipwrecked. I've been beat up and I have been forsaken. But in all of these situations, I'm still happy with God. I'm still happy because God has my back. I'm still happy because God is blessing me. He's giving me the blessings that go beyond these things that we think we have to have. Let us seek to use what God has blessed us with to be a blessing to others. The Bible talks about it. Our Lord and Savior had some words to say, and actually, in the book of Acts, his words are remembered. It says, "In everything I showed you that by working hard in this manner, you must help the weak and remember the words of our Lord Jesus that he himself said, it is more blessed to give than to receive." Acts 20, verse number 35. It is more blessed to give than to receive. He reminded them that the work hard and helping other folks was a good thing. It's nothing wrong with you getting up, working 5 days a week, 6 days a week. I got a problem if you're working 7 days a week and can't come to church. Too much work. But using some of what God blessed you with, some of your paycheck, I'll make it plain. Using some of the money that you have received to help somebody else along the way. And that's what the church is all about, is the ability not only to be blessed, to receive the blessings of God, but to spread the blessings along to other folks so that God might be praised. Listen, in 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse number 8, Paul says these words, "And God is able to make all grace abound, so that always, not sometimes, but always having all sufficiency in everything." Do you see the completeness of this? "You may have an abundance," not a little bit, "you may have an abundance for every good deed." That's what God will do. God will bless you above and beyond. God will open the storehouse, the windows of heaven, and pour out a blessing that you cannot contain. That's what God will do. If we will just do his will. I want to close with these words, you know. One of the definitions of being blessed and blessing is happy and happiness. And Jesus really made a point of this on the Sermon on the Mount. The Bible says blessed. I'm going to read a couple of these, but we could take blessed and put in happy, and it would be the meaning that God meant. In Matthew 5, beginning at verse number 3, he says, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Happy are the gentle, for they shall inherit the earth. Happy are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied. Happy are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy. Happy are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Happy are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the sons of God. Happy are those who have been persecuted for the sake of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Happy are you when people shall insult you, persecute you falsely, and say all kinds of evil against you because of me." He says, rejoice. You're happy, he says. You're blessed. You have something that no one else can give you. You have a sense of contentment. You are happy in circumstances where most people would be crying the blues, but you are happy because you realize how blessed you are from God. You realize how much God has done for you. You realize that God has picked you up and that God has brought you through so many things in your life. You realize that there's no greater power than the power of God. You realize that hell cannot prevail against you because you have been blessed by God. You realize that if God blesses you, then no one can curse you. Amen. Amen. Happy are you if you understand these things. When you understand or when you know how blessed you are, then you're not going to steal anybody's blessings. When you know how blessed you are, you're going to get out of the way of God's blessings and let God bless you the way he wants to. When you realize how blessed you are, then you're going to seek to bless somebody else. You're going to be a happier person as you live your life day by day. God has blessed us. Ephesians chapter 1, verse number 3, points out that God has blessed us. He, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. First of all, it says God is happy. God is blessed because blessings come from God. And we have been blessed because of Jesus Christ. All spiritual blessings. If you want to go to heaven, if you want to have spiritual goodness in your life, if you want to be a child of God, only through Christ Jesus can you be blessed. We have been blessed through Christ Jesus. Do you want to be blessed spiritually? If you do, that means that you will believe in Jesus Christ. You will accept him to be the Son of God. Because no one thing, whether you do or not, he is the Son of God. No one thing that God has raised him from the dead. No one thing that he has all power in his hand. He has power over death. He has power over sickness. He has power over Hades. He has power over demons and everything. It's in Christ Jesus, and only in Christ Jesus, where we can be saved. You must believe that. You must be willing to change your way of thinking. Change your attitude about God. Change your attitude about yourself. Didn't I say that your attitude can get in the way of God's blessings? You got a bad attitude. Oh, ain't nobody good. I'm too bad. No, I can't be saved. Change your attitude. Change the way you think. When you begin to repent, when you begin to have that change of mind, then it will, working with God, allow you to make a change in your direction and where you're going. Unless you repent, Luke 13:3, the Bible says, I tell you nay, you shall likewise perish. Folks, we're going nowhere but to hell if we don't get right with God. And the biggest blessing, most of us flip off. And that is getting right with God so that we can live eternally in heaven. Don't you know that if you didn't get any other blessing in your life, if you got blessed with going to heaven, you have gotten the biggest blessing you could ever receive? Oh, yeah. If you're here this morning and you know that you need to make a change, be willing to confess Christ before men. Be buried with him in baptism. And when you come up out of the waters, rise up to walk in newness of life. And folks, the worst thing that we can do is keep going forward and keep falling back. I'm going to ask the question this way. If you've ever been in bankruptcy, if you have ever declared bankruptcy, you know that you have a hard time at least for 7 years. Can't buy nothing. Got to have somebody co-sign for you. And a whole bunch of other stuff. That's the way we do we bankrupt ourselves, we cheat ourselves out of God's blessings when we come into the church and we back out of the church. Coming into the church and backing back out of the church. God say, wait a minute, I'm just going to hold up on the blessings because I don't know where they're going to be. Folks, get in the church and stay in the church. Do right and keep on doing right. It's so simple. But we make it so hard. There's nothing out there for you. If it's not from God, it will do you no good. I don't care if it's 5 years, 10 years, 20 years. You'll see down the line, yeah, I wish I hadn't have done that. I'm coming back now. I've seen it happen. Seen it happen with loved ones. I've seen it happen with people I know. So I'm telling you the truth. If you're here this morning and you know you need to get right with God, why don't you do it right now? Get right with God. Give God your heart and start to live for God. And get out of the way of his blessings. Let God bless you. He wants to build you up. He wants to give you knowledge. He wants to give you understanding. He wants to give you spiritual power in Christ Jesus. Get out of the way of your blessings and let him give you the blessings that he wants to give you. If you're here this morning and you need to come, please come as we together stand and sing.